Good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning. Appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate Rodney reading that for me. That was my first scripture I was going to read this morning. The point I want to get out of that reading is there's one leper that thanked God for his blessing. He thanked Jesus. He thanked God for his blessing that he was healed from his leprosy. Only one out of ten did that. That's the application I want to make for us this morning. Do we thank God for our blessings? That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about us. A lot of times I think, I know I'm including myself in this, sometimes we forget the blessings that God showers us with, both materially and spiritually. Sometimes we forget or we don't recognize how much we are truly blessed by God. We have struggles, trials, temptations in our lives. Sometimes they overtake us that we forget how blessed we really are. We start many times, instead of realizing our blessings, we start counting our troubles. We don't do like we sing the song, number 68 in our red book, Count Your Blessings. We forget to do that, don't we? Sometimes we don't count our blessings, we count our troubles instead of our blessings. Did you ever take time to do like the song says and count your blessings? You might realize that it might take you quite a while to count your blessings because you're truly blessed. You know, there's on your program, when I think of how many people in this world have it worse than I do, I realize just how blessed I really am. Sometimes we need something like that to make us stop and think how blessed we really are. We need to think about something like this. I always keep in mind when I find myself thinking this way, woe is me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I get that way sometimes. But then, I think of this wording, and also think of a poem I learned, which goes like this. I had the blues because I had no shoes, until upon the street I met a man who had no feet. And that really gets me to really thinking how blessed I really am. And more importantly, do we thank God for our blessings, like this one leper did? Do we truly thank God for them? Let's look, and so we can appreciate the blessings that God gives us. Let's look at some of them. Let's start by looking at our material blessings. And again, as I say, this lesson is to help us increase our appreciation for the blessings we do have from God, both material and spiritual. I want to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. This is speaking about our material blessings. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verse 45. Which says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And also another reference I have is James 1 and verse 17, where James records that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, We'll especially look at verse 33. Then we'll go back up to verse 30. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll go back up to verse 30. Says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more, much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that he hath need of all these things." Now, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In verse 33, Jesus specifically refers to God's provision for material needs to those who put him before the things of the world. Before you put God first, you seek the things, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Christians have a promise of divine care which does not belong to the sinner. That's just briefly some of the material, looking at the material blessings. And we know we are truly blessed in this area. But the greatest blessings are our spiritual blessings, I think. And I think you agree with that too. The greatest divine blessings are spiritual. Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Since these blessings are found in Christ, they belong to Christians. One out of Christ can gain entrance to Christ where these blessings are found by being baptized into him. That's recorded. The reference I had is Galatians 3, 26 and 27, where it talks about being baptized into Christ. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now let's look at some of the spiritual blessings that Christians do and should enjoy. First one we want to look at and consider is the blessing of the forgiveness of our sins. Few scriptures I want to look at, a couple of scriptures to begin with, is Romans 6 and 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then also in Ephesians, first chapter and verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Spiritual death can be overcome only by the forgiveness. God forgives us by virtue of the atoning blood of Christ, made possible by divine grace. The Christian is assured that when through weaknesses he slips, after being Christian, he may through prayer ask the Heavenly Father to forgive. That's 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's truly a blessing to really think about and enjoy that we have. Another blessing we have, is spiritual blessing we have as Christians, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there are many, many scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit dwells within the Christian. Just a few of them. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Also in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Romans 8th chapter. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And the indwelling of the Spirit is received at the time one is baptized into Christ, as we have recorded in Acts, the second chapter, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That is truly a beneficial blessing we have. Another blessing we have is the strength to meet problems. It is through the indwelling Spirit that God often bestows His blessings. And it is through the Spirit that we can overcome our troubles and problems that can come upon us. I want to turn to Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We could read on there, but the main thing is to know that it's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that often God does bestow blessings upon us. Then also in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 13, which we're pretty much all familiar with, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we often think of this statement a lot. We find a lot of strength and encouragement in that statement. And Paul says, pretty plain there, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think apparently he's saying this because it was received by the means of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we do have temptations, trials, tribulations, we are promised that we'll be able to successfully face it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which is one of my favorite verses to turn to whenever I feel discouraged, down, blue, whatever you want to say, because of maybe something I'm going through. I turn to this verse. It really comforts me a lot, helps me a lot. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will help you. He will make a way for you, make a way for you to escape. You just have to be aware that there is a way for you to escape, and you have to take advantage of that. There is a way to successfully face your troubles, your temptations and trials that you might have, problems. And that's a blessing. That's truly a big blessing. Another blessing we have is that all things work together for good. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, this doesn't imply that we will always receive everything we may desire, but the Scriptures do indicate that God will always do what is best for our welfare. And sometimes it might not appear like we are getting the answer we need right away. We want it pretty quick because we feel like we're hurting real bad. Sometimes the answer comes in a way we don't think it'll come, but God does work things for our good. The key is that we truly love God and trust Him, and all things will work ultimately for our good. When we grieve, when we sorrow, suffering, if we love God, all those things are working together for the ultimate good, for our welfare. Remember what it says in Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, and this is what we really want to look at, this last part of the verse, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Truly, that's another good blessing that we need to think about. Now I'm going to mention something that might not at first seem like a blessing, but whenever we think about it, we realize that it can be a blessing. And that is chastisement, or discipline, or however you want to word it. Let's look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, begin verse 6, concerning chastisement. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? Going down to verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. At the time, it doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous. But sometimes chastisement is for our own good. Sometimes chastisement brings out the best in us. We just have to trust in God that He knows what He's doing when we are chastised. Another blessing we have is communion with God. And we do have communion with God when you think about the various elements of our worship service constitutes communion with God. As we just did the partaking of the emblems, that's communion with God. In partaking of the emblems, in memory of our Savior, we commune with God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We are communing with God. In prayer, we are talking to God with assurance that He hears us. James 5 and 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are communing with God in prayer, and He does hear us. We know this. When we read Scripture, God is talking to us as we open our minds to learn His will. 2 Timothy 3. 16 and 17. I can't quote those as well as I know I should be able to, but I just have to go over there and look at it. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, a lot of this is in our worship service. We commune with God. In our Lord's table, when we partake of the emblems, whenever we pray, when we read Scripture, and also when we sing, even when we sing praise and adoration to His name. We're communing with God when we sing. The final one I have, spiritual blessing, is eternal home in heaven. The Scriptures abound in promises of a home for the soul in life after death. Just a few of them. John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For if we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven. The hope of eternal life is one of the greatest impelling forces which drive, it helps us to live the Christian life. It is one of the greatest indwelling forces which drive us forward through the turmoils of life. Because the Christian has been partaker of God's spiritual blessings in this life, he can be confident that a dwelling place with God awaits him in the next life. And that is really a driving force that we have. The eternal home in heaven, which we all have a goal of striving for, being there with Jesus and God. That's a strong driving force. It's a motivating force that we have, that we can go forward through whatever happens to us in this life. But we know there's a better place waiting, and we eagerly look forward to that. And that's what we keep our eyes focused upon. If we keep doing that, keep us our eyes focused on Jesus and our eternal home in heaven, that'll help us get through this life here on this earth. Even when we have troubles, grief, sorrow, whatever, that's a motivating drive for us to keep going on, keep moving on. That's my talk this morning. I hope you will realize and appreciate the blessings that God has given you. Especially we as Christians, what blessings we truly should enjoy and remember as we live our life here on earth. How He has really blessed us. And He wants us to be with Him in the end, in heaven. I'll leave the lesson with you this morning. If there is anyone subject to the invitation call, we give you the opportunity now as we stand and sing.